Michael Larson's here, Vice President and General Manager of the Schaumburg Boomers. Let's tell you this story this summer. Hey, Michael, you're on the air again. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Tell us how the season's going for the Boomers. I know it's early in the run, but how are we doing?
We started the season up just about a week and a half ago. We had a one-week road trip where we were able to split the series 3-3. And then we opened up at home last Friday night with a win. Heartbreaking loss on Saturday night here at Wintrust Field where we lost in extra innings. But now we continue with another home game tonight and tomorrow.
Do you have the same rules as MLB? Do you put a runner on second in extra innings?
We have a really unique rule system. The 10th inning is the same as MLB. However, if we were to finish tied after the 10th inning, we have a sudden death inning, which the home team decides whether they pitch or hit. They put a runner on first, and if the hitting team scores, they win. If the pitching team keeps them from scoring, they win.
Wow.
It's very unique to our league. It's the only league that has that rule.
I guess that's very fan-friendly, huh?
It is. You know, I'm kind of old school. I prefer the traditional just keep playing until it's over. Extra innings, but it is nice as an operator and as knowing what the players are going to be going through to know that, you know, there's 10 and a half innings. There's not going to have that who knows how long it's going to go feel to it.
I guess it's better on some of the arms in the bullpen too.
That's the reason they put it in there, was to keep that, 18 inning game from putting too much on each of the pitchers.
The attendance has been how so far this year?
Good. I mean, we've only had two home games so far, but it's early on. But it's been good. Everything has been great in the off season. We've continued to have a lot of growth in season seats, in suites, company outings, things like that. So everything's trending in the right direction for us after several seasons in a row of increased attendance. We've actually gone up every year since 2018. So
no kidding. Well, I don't know. Maybe the pandemic is in the rearview mirror now, but I know that a game in Schaumburg was a real important thing for people to have as an option when we were in the middle of that.
Yeah, pandemic was a really weird time. It seems almost surreal to look back at and think, wow, that really happened. Because, we were the alternate site with the White Sox. We did events with the Blackhawks here at the stadium. That's actually when the stadium became Wintrust Field. So it's, I came in 2018, so I almost have this, separate mindset of operations pre-pandemic and post-pandemic.
It's funny. I was out to dinner the other night with my family. We were talking about that very thing, how we're kind of not thinking about the pandemic so much, but then when you start to recall the little data points or touch points, like, oh, we did that or we couldn't do that, you go, I just lived through that? It's so weird. That's not why I put you on the radio today. I know that military appreciation is this weekend. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, we've got a full slate of things coming up here. We got tonight, tomorrow, and then four games at home over Memorial Day weekend. On Memorial Day itself, so on Monday afternoon, we have a 1 o'clock game, and we are doing up to 6 free tickets for any active or former military on Memorial Day.
Boy, I like the sound of that. I'm looking at the itinerary. Let's just walk through some of these real quick here. You've got Bark in the Park. I presume that's when I bring my dog to the park on the 27th?
Yep, that's a 3 o'clock game on Saturday afternoon, so it's a nice way to spend the afternoon. You can bring your dog to the ballpark. You can get tickets in any section. Dogs are welcome. The only place we don't allow them is on the suite level. So, you can bring them out and enjoy a ball game.
Do you always do fireworks after the home games, by the way?
We do every Friday and Saturday except for that Saturday. Obviously, being at 3 o'clock, we're not going to be able to do them. But we are doing fireworks on Sunday night for Memorial Day weekend. So Sunday night, we have the bobblehead giveaway for the first 1,000 fans. Chase Dawson bobblehead, commemorating him shattering the triples record for the league last year, 24 triples. He broke the league record halfway through the season and then continued to go.
To what do you attribute that, lack of power or extraordinary speed?
It's actually that he hits the ball very well on line drives. So, you know, if you're familiar, the stadium is, from a playing surface perspective, is an exact replication of Wrigley, which means you've got a lot of areas that if you hit the ball on the line and it goes down into the corner or into the power alleys, a guy who's fast can run for a long time.
That's amazing.
So it's, yeah, it's power, but a different kind of power. You know, it's being able to put line drives to the wall.
The Elvis night is June 6th. It's $1 mm-hmm. hot dog night on the 13th. You've got Bark in the Park again on the 25th. You've got
actually dollar hot dog night tonight.
I hate to say this. It's lunchtime. That sounds very attractive to me. What a great promotion! I want to mention one more. July 7th. Think about that. July 7th Star Wars night. What a fun event that is too. So, Congratulations in advance and for the season you've already put together, Michael. Our best to everybody over at the Boomers and have a great year. We'll talk maybe later on towards the playoffs.
Sounds good. You have a great day.
All right, let's talk to Philip Weiss, a regular guest on the Business Lunch here, president of SciFarth at Work. What is this? The middle manager could be an endangered species. Philip, what are you talking about?
Yeah, well, this is not that we see complete extinction on the horizon, John, but middle managers, that is the level between that frontline supervisor and the top executives, are being cut. And not replaced in potentially alarming numbers in early 2023. And part of that, John, is because a lot of companies were staffing up at all levels through the last month or so, and now we're looking at their employee roles and saying, we may have grown too quickly. And the first target in times of turmoil and economic uncertainty are these middle managers because they're paid more and they're not the rank and file getting the work out the door. So there are some risks associated with making these cuts and not replacing, but that is a trend we are seeing right now.
Can you give me just a couple of scenarios where that's actually happened?
Yeah. I mean, I would just say if any of your listeners is Google middle manager cuts, they'll see market leaders doing it across industries. This is really a white-collar phenomenon. So whether you're a shipping company or a tech company, it's those people at that higher level, but not all the way to the executive suite level. So, for example, we have a company that came to us. It was an engineering firm, Chicago-based, and they cut two middle managers who were responsible for coordinating between their different project teams. The result was, while they thought the staff themselves could figure out how to send out proposals, how to coordinate with clients, two separate project plans went to the same potential client with different pricing strategies. So no one was there at a higher level to say, wait a second, we're duplicating work. People just took the opportunity and ran with it, which sounds good, but that's why you need someone at that higher level to see the bigger picture. Obviously, that client was not long in terms of an opportunity. So we're seeing a lot of those kind of moments where the companies haven't thought ahead a step or two and make sure they're covering those key responsibilities.
Here, I thought you were going to tell middle managers how to find their next job, but it sounds like you're telling businesses you better appreciate the work these people do. Don't dismiss them too quickly.
Yeah, and frankly, you're hitting on two very important areas. The companies have to game it out a bit. They have to anticipate, what happens if we cut too quickly? What are these people doing or what role are they serving that's really critical? So, for example, at a computer firm that's come to us, the HR team was seeing less complaints from employees about the environment, about misconduct. They assumed, hey, we've just built the best work environment possible. The reality was, having cut middle managers, they cut the very people that employees were willing to go to because they had enough respect, but they were also accessible. So you want to think about that. Are we cutting people too quickly who play critical roles internally or with our clients? And you're right, John. On the other hand, people in middle management should look around. Have your teams been bloated, grown dramatically? If so, think about, are you positioning yourself internally and externally in case there's an ugly surprise around the corner?
Thinking about the line from the movie The Office, what is it you would say you do here? And I suppose those managers themselves know the answer to that question, right?
Yeah.
And maybe they may not like it, but if you did an honest assessment, you would know how integral you are or how, you know, much fat you may represent when they're trying to cut.
That's right. I mean, that is such good advice, because sometimes we live a little bit with our heads in the sand. We default into our daily roles, and we don't look around and say, what is the true value, and am I maybe not indispensable, but valuable enough? And then sometimes, John, the answer is extending your range. We've had some middle managers we've worked with, they actually offered to expand responsibility across functions. So if one department had a cut, they were actually now in two departments, or others who created new opportunities for the company to cut costs or increase sales, even though that wasn't their ultimate core responsibility. Now you've given yourself more internal value. So be realistic, be more valuable.
Hmm. Do you have an assessment of where this is going? Because in a way, we're talking about the recession and maybe the soft landing of the recession. I wonder how many people are finding themselves or are going to find themselves in this position, middle managers who suddenly look attractive when they're trying to cut costs.
Yeah, so if you look at the statistics, John, perhaps 10 to 15% of the middle manager roles are being affected, whether that is cuts, stagnation, or even pay reductions, meaning you're welcome to stay for less pay. So there's a significant hit here, particularly at the mid-size and larger company level. So part of it is expanding not only your value internally, but thinking about, all right, do I have the skills that are needed now for other companies looking around, whether that's project management, AI-related, looking at ways to analyze data that is needed by my industry. So expand your skills and expand your internal value.
Sort of the same strategy newcomers to any industry must think about. You know, how can I make myself attractive to this potential employer? Philip Weiss is the president of Seyfarth at Work, S-E-Y-F-A-R-T-H, Seyfarth at Work. Always interesting, Philip. We'll call you again.
Thanks for having me, John.
Jack Ablin joins us, chief investment officer, founding partner at Crescent Capital, with maybe a rosier outlook than even the Fed has. So by all means, Jack, let's talk to you on the radio today. How are you?
Great. Thanks, John. Appreciate the invitation.
First, let's just talk about the debt ceiling deadline overall. How are you scoring that? We going to be okay?
Well, you know, we're on the surface. Both Representative McCarthy and President Biden are saying we don't want a default. And yet behind closed doors to his Republican colleagues, McCarthy's saying that they're pretty far apart. So I think part of the turbulence we're seeing today in stocks may have to do with the uncertainty around getting a conclusion quickly.
If they do resolve it, do you think there's an upside? Will the market take a jump?
I think so. I think that just getting this behind us is certainly would be a relief. I think we'll see yields, Treasury yields, probably go up a little bit. Stocks go up a little bit, and gold probably come down a little bit from its perch.
What did I read? The three times in the last administration, we were at this point, and we increased the debt ceiling without any tit for tat. There was no major trades made as a result of that. I wonder, though, if, in fact, McCarthy and the Republicans in the House really do see this as a unique opportunity. How do you assess the landscape?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, you have to keep in mind that the last time with the, you know, debt debate came to a head was 2011 in the fall. And, you know, it did lead to substantially lower equity prices, lower yields, and higher gold. Interestingly, the lead negotiator for the Obama administration was Vice President Biden. You know, suggesting that, you know, he's not going to negotiate belies his previous history. So I think there will be some negotiation, you know, perhaps just clawing back a lot of the unspent pandemic relief funds could be part of it. You know, I think every commercial break on the radio, I hear, you know, someone hawking these COVID relief, you know, strategies.
It's funny because one of the towns around here still has money in the bank 3 years later, and they're just the plan was to just bonus employees. Everybody gets $1,500, and I thought they could turn it back in. But then I thought, there's not that much money out there. There is. There's the kind of money that would make a difference if they clawed back the unused money.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, we're talking billions. Absolutely. And, you know, I think certainly it doesn't seem like you know, that something that President Biden should, you know, dig his heels in over. I think that's certainly something that's subject to negotiation. Absolutely.
One last thing about all of this. Is there a point that the president should give in on, be it climate change or college debt or Social Security? I mean, there's all of these different areas that the Republicans have on their wish list. Is there something that would be, or are there some things that should be manageable concessions for the administration?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. For as big as the budget is, John, the discretionary portion of spending is only 11%. So we're, you know, we're not really dealing with a big slice of that spending pie. So when you, you know, start carving up that last piece, it does seem pretty significant. I do think there's certainly some middle ground, given the fact that, you know, we've spent, I think, just in COVID relief over the last several years, not just President Biden, but President Trump as well, you know, more than $7.1 trillion. So I do, and that's, you know, 20% of our GDP. So I do think there should be some wiggle room, and I would expect both sides to come to some conclusion. I do worry, though, that the one area that they could both sides stand behind and save face would be if we had a substantial market drop, where now both sides are reacting to the market and doing it in a way to, quote unquote, save the, you know, economy, so to speak. So that is a scenario that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And one that's, you know, troubling, but could also lead to a buying opportunity, perhaps.
Jack Ablin's on the phone line from Crescent Capital. The Fed does an assessment of the country's economy. You've assessed their assessment. You are a little more bullish, it sounds like, than the Fed is.
Yes. You know, remember, this is a group that was late calling the inflation a little more sticky than we had originally expected. And now they're probably a little, you know, more concerned about declaring victory over inflation. I think that they still believe it's lingering. We believe that inflation's coming down a lot faster. In fact, if you look at the two-year expectation of inflation and triangulate it with current inflation, we can be at the 3% or so level by the end of the year, and likely in the 2% range year over year by first quarter of next year. If that's the case, then, you know, the Fed doesn't need to keep rates as high
right.
as they do. And, you know, we also keep in mind that the banks are cutting back on lending, and that's doing a lot of the Fed's work for them.
That's Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer, founding partner at Crescent Capital. Interesting stuff today, Jack. Thanks for your help.
Thanks, John.
More business news. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago says business conditions in the Midwest have improved slightly this month, but are still near the lowest level in a decade. The survey of economic conditions showed improvement for manufacturing, but a decline for non-manufacturing businesses. The territory covered by the report includes five states around Chicago. It also showed inflation pressures declining and labor spending coming under control as well. The Fed survey's negative reading indicates a pessimistic outlook for business activity moving forward. A Chicago startup that sells insurance to residential rental property owners has raised more than $25 million in a funding round. OBI was founded in 2017 and has grown to 85 employees. Cranes reports the successful round comes despite venture capital being tight. OBI provides fast quotes to clients using multiple distribution partners, including lenders and property managers. The company's technology is embedded on those websites. OBI will use the new funding to add staff and expand product offerings. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Business of Food Time. Here's Steve Alexander.
Thank you, and I was just reading about how drought is affecting the water level in the Panama Canal. Traffic is being slowed down. Container vessels have to lighten their loads and pay higher fees, which made me think of the problems barges had last fall on the Mississippi and Ohio and Illinois rivers. Not a problem now. There's plenty of water, in fact, too much in some spots. But there is something else about to stop barge traffic on the Illinois, which I will tell you about after I tell you we're sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. In 2020, just before the pandemic, we were told the unthinkable. The Illinois River was going to be shut down, closed all summer, while locks and dams were renovated and replaced.
Round one of two.
Okay, well, before we get to round two, how did round one go?
Round one went extremely well.
That's Tom Heindold, Chief of Operations for the Rock Island Division of the Army Corps of Engineers.
We had five locks closed all at the same time, which had never been done before. Despite a lot of challenges, we actually were able to pull it off.
Yeah, challenges included the pandemic.
That really messed with contractors' ability to field healthy workforces at the time.
And
we had a flood.
And really hot weather in August.
Where we had to do some midnight concrete placements and put ice in concrete trucks and things like that.
You had to add ice to the concrete?
Yes, to make sure that the starting temperature of those concrete pours wouldn't result in poor quality concrete.
But
everything got done. We were open by harvest season.
Round two is scheduled to begin next week.
Marseilles, Dresden Island, and Brandon Road will all be closed at the same time.
And those locks and dams will be renovated and reopened
by the end of September.
It really is an engineering achievement and a big undertaking that created a lot of jobs.
We had something just shy of 1,000 people.
And the price tag?
Round one was somewhere in the 250 million range, and I believe round two is only in the 120 million range, about half as big.
And after the summer, it's work that won't need to be done again for a long time.
We expect that we have bought probably another 25 at least years of reliable service for the locks.
Tom Heindold of the Army Corps of Engineers in Rock Island. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Mike Long's in our studio, owner and designer of Mike's Landscape Lighting. Mike, welcome back to WGN. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for inviting me.
I heard you on David Hochberg's show last Saturday.
Absolutely. I love going there and, you know, messing around with those guys on that show.
That's what you do. You got to mess around with those guys on that show. Mike's Landscape Lighting. I think that's obvious what you guys do, landscape lighting,
yep.
Residential or business?
Yeah, 90% residential, 10% business. So,
How long have you been in this trade?
This is our 10th year in business. Before that, I owned a landscaping company, and I did lighting and designed lighting in that company for 25 years. So
do you still do landscaping, or you're just lighting?
Just lighting, yeah. We sold off the landscaping, lawn care portion.
Did you think that was a sort of underappreciated part of the landscaping business? Why did you decide to leave landscaping and go into lighting?
Because I had a passion for lighting. And my passion for landscaping kind of diminished as I learned more about lighting and
What's the passion of lighting? It's lighting. What's that all about?
It's just the excitement of when you get done with the job and you get to meet with the client at nighttime to walk through the property and to see their expression on their face when they see those lights for the first time.
Well, as we've said on the radio, because you're also a sponsor here and I do commercials for you and I describe what happened at our house. Brandon and I paid for you to come out and do the service for us, and it's really transformative. I told you in Hochberg the other weekend that you see your house all day long. It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lose it at night. But if you illuminate's not the right word, because our worry was that it was just going to be big splashes of light and you'd see it, but it wouldn't be artistic. I think there's an art to what you do.
Absolutely. That's what I like about what we do. We're not just throwing light at a building or somebody's house. I'm actually looking at the architecture of the house and designing the lighting to go around that architecture. And, you know, you have an older house. So your house is built in 1890, I think you said. So it would look, you don't light it the same way as a modern house. You light it completely different.
You uplit some of our trees.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you have some beautiful trees there.
You didn't do my sidewalks. You didn't do the bushes. What else do you do?
So we could do sidewalks. We could do bushes. But I don't like to just light everything, As we talked about on Hochberg's show, I'm not there just to sell you lights. I'm there to sell you a design that will accentuate the property. So if we light up the front of the house, you get a little bit of ambient light off of that. And sometimes you do not need pathway lights. Pathway lights are a lot more maintenance, so you have to, you know, they're always getting knocked over by the dog or, you know, hit at an angle and stuff like that. So I try to use those only where I need to use those.
My wife brought this up the other day, and I didn't know the answer because we haven't had them in very long. What's that going to do to our electric bill?
Yeah, I did a blog post on this a few months back, and the average size job in Illinois will cost about $7 a month, and in Wisconsin it's like $5 a month. So if you turn off some of your coach lights and just have your regular, just have the landscape lights on, you won't see a difference at all.
I'm surprised to hear that. You would think all of that light would be costing me a lot of money, no?
Nope. It's, you know, like I said, I've been doing lighting for 25 years, so you used to use a 50-watt equivalent bulb to light the side of a house, typical size, and now that takes 7 watts of power. So just very energy efficient.
Do people have you stripping out the lighting that they have on the perimeter of their house?
Absolutely. We take out a lot of, there's, you know, back in, you know, not the old days, but 20 years ago, they used a lot of 120-volt systems. And those are actually pretty dangerous. You open up those boxes and they're full of water. And I'm not an electrician, but, you know, water and electricity usually don't go together. So right, we try to get rid of those. And a lot of old halogen systems that we take out and convert them over to LED.
Can we put in different color bulbs?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's red and green options for those. One of the manufacturers have, you can get orange and amber for like Halloween and stuff like
that. Oh, really?
Yeah, there's some really cool stuff.
Can you adjust the intensity of the lighting?
Yeah. On
like a dimmer switch? I don't know.
No, we can adjust the intensity of the lighting. I do that with each fixture. I different bulb in there, or there's some fixtures that are adjustable internally. So there is adjustability, but just not for the homeowner to use to just dim down. That just adds a little more complication to the system.
What's the hot trend in landscape lighting?
Color changing. People are asking a lot for color changing, so there are some new options out there that will automatically change color for each of the holidays. I mean, we've reprogrammed them, so I spend a lot of time on a computer just programming these light systems. The permanent roofline lights, where people put light the roofline up for Christmas and stuff like that. They have ones that are meant to be up there year-round, and you can have all different colors. You can have red, white, blue, 4th of July. You could do green for St. Patrick's Day, so that's a new trend as well. I'm not a real fan of them on houses. We have done some on businesses. They look great on businesses. It draws attention to businesses, so that's one area that we're pushing.
What are those bulbs where they just string them across the yard, you know, hanging from like a rope?
Yep, those are called bistro lights, cafe lights, whatever, you know, a bunch of different names for them. Over the last several years, we have done a ton of those. I mean, thousands and thousands of feet a year. I see it starting to back off a little bit because I think a lot of people have them. So if there's a true reason to do those, like we talked about doing in your backyard to have a little more light back there, then we could do them. But I think they're actually phasing. It was a fad, and I think it's starting to come down to an end right now.
Yeah. Well, it's I said it a moment ago, and I'll say it again. I think it's an art what you guys do, and it's one maybe you don't appreciate until you see it. And then you go, wow, I did not know what it was going to look like. You put them up during the day. You wait for it to get dark
yep.
at night. And ours are on a dimmer switch, too. So when it gets dark, a timing
yep.
switch.
Yep.
So I don't have to push any buttons or do anything.
Yeah, it's not the old days where you have the pins, where you're pulling the pins out of the timers and changing the time. We use astronomical timers. So they inside the timers programmed all the sunset, sunrise in there, and your lights go off and on with those changing every single day. So, yeah.
And then you come out to the house at night afterwards to make sure it looks right.
Yep, that's all part of it. Yeah, I want to make sure it's right. I want to make sure you're happy. So we go out there and make adjustments, and that's what we do. That's all part of the job.
You still taking $350 off for our customers or your customers, our listeners, if they mention us?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. We love that. Yeah, we definitely do that. Yeah.
So the website, the link on our page to your page is WGNMike.com.
That is correct, yep.
Go to WGN. Your name is Mike. What a coincidence.
Hi, I'm Mike, yep.
WGNMike.com what's the name of the business again?
Mike's Landscape Lighting.
Mike's Landscape Lighting. Now, that works out real well for you, but with you being named Mike. And all. Okay, Mike'sLandscapeLighting.com is his website, but if it's easier for you, just go to WGNMike.com. Mike, well done. Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming
in. Thank you. Thanks for having me in.